This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Guys, we're going to be on what Zach Wilson looked like. The eye test mattered more than ever last night. And if the eye test mattered more than ever in a loss to the Jags, it's a definitive statement that Zach Wilson failed. So now what? It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Q Myers, Jason Fitz, we're in for the guys, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bunch of you guys want to chime in, we will let you chime in. Jets fans, get it off your chest. Got to feel good. Like, just get it off your chest.
Say it with your chest.
I mean, look, I'm not sitting here on some, like some soapbox saying that I've had a fun year as a fan. My God, everybody knows I'm a Raiders fan, right? Like, this, I feel you, Jets fans. Like, it is a painful, painful thing when you watch your team just implode, and that's what it felt like last night. Now, the question, Q, becomes, you know, how does Zach Wilson get better, and why did he struggle? This is what he had to say particularly about why he struggled so much last night.
Man, I don't know. You know, I just felt like didn't have any rhythm out there, you know, just trying to find some confidence out there on the field and just, you know, just find something to get us going, a little spark, and couldn't get anything there, man. And you know, I had opportunities and I got to be able to connect on those, and you know, we're going to go back and watch it, and you know, I'm sure coaches will detail it up and stuff for us, but you know, right now the feeling is I just got to, you know, put my head down and just try and get better, you know, for these guys. And, you know, that's kind of my message to them out there is, you know, I'm trying to give them everything I got. I'm trying to lay it out there for you guys, and it's not good enough, and I got to put them in a better position.
That sounds like a defeated man, Q.
Yeah, it is a defeated man, and how he gets better is somewhere else. I mean, it's just as bad as it's as blunt as I could be about the situation. He gets better somewhere else. That team, that defense, even the coaching staff, Robert Saleh's trying to say all the right things to keep him engaged, but they have given up on Zach Wilson. Regardless if it's right or wrong, the players aren't out there playing for him. They have too good of a defense to just go ahead and trot out a quarterback that they don't have confidence in, because at some point you feel deflated as a team. You see the energy they have when they have Mike White out there. Hell, Chris Streveler brought some energy to the team last night. I mean, Zach Wilson just doesn't have it. So for him, his sake and his sake alone, his best opportunity to get better is somewhere else.
Yeah, I what you just said about, you know, the spark and the energy, when that's what he's feeling about himself, man, everybody else got to be feeling that too, right? And yep. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? How do you give confidence to somebody that's lost it? I don't know, but I know that there's no easy answer for that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The question becomes, what do you do? How do you move forward? Justin in Jersey. Justin chiming in on the Jets and what they haven't done. Justin, thanks for calling the show, man.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for taking my call. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thanks, you too. Man.
Obviously, I want to talk about the Jets. You know, you guys just took a lot of my thunder. You know, coming into that game last night, the Jets should not have played that way, obviously. That was a disheartening loss. You know, they just absolutely didn't show up. And like you were saying, the team is not even responding to Zach Wilson at this point. I remember, you know, that movie Any Given Sunday, when the offensive coordinator looked over to Al Pacino and he's like, they won't play for him. You obviously saw that last night. As soon as that fourth-string quarterback comes in that was on the practice squad, comes in and drives the ball down the field like that, you know there's obviously a problem. And, you know, honestly, at this point, you know, obviously Wilson shoulders a lot of the blame. But also, I blame the Jets, too, you know. And I'm not saying that Saleh is the wrong coach. But the Jets, you know, they brought in all these players, you know, around him to have success. But, you know, the one thing they didn't bring him is somebody in to develop him.
Yep.
Saleh is a first-year head coach last year. Mike LaFleur was first-time offensive coordinator. And you could just see it. The offense is just totally broken at this point. And mentally, I also think he's mentally broken at this point. The fans are booing him off the field. And Saleh had to bring in somebody else, because at that point, I think the fans were about to go on the field and just walk and just explode at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, going forward, I think this team just needs a veteran, whether it's maybe trading for somebody like a Derek Carr, like you said, a Jimmy Garoppolo. This team has a lot of talent for the first time in a long time.
Thanks for the call, Jess. I don't disagree, by the way, that the Jets have a ton of talent. Yep. And I also don't disagree that when everything's broken, there's no easy way to solve it, right? Like, if you look across the board at what the Jets have attempted to do, they've done the smart thing in building their roster, too. Like, right. They have a solid defense. But also, that defense didn't show up last night. And look, we keep sort of excusing it because, like, you see your quarterback play and you get deflated. You and I have both covered teams, been around teams, watched teams, seen teams that had great defenses and terrible offenses, or vice versa. You can't be that way. Like, who are the leaders in the locker room that are stepping up to the guys left and right and saying, hey, I don't care what the quarterback position is. We're not going to get beat today. And that was not – I mean, the Jags looked like – they moved the ball and made the Jets' defense look silly on a couple of different drives. And you just can't let that happen.
No, you can't. And, you know, the perfect example for me was the very beginning of the game. The Jets went out there. Quinnen Williams forced a fumble early. And you saw the Jets' offense not really to be able to do anything with it. And I think that started the, oh, here we go again feeling, right? And sometimes that's hard. Even as a professional, it's hard to not get that feeling. And I think Robert Saleh's done a good job as a head coach, but he's also a defensive minded head coach. So going back to the call about, you know, they didn't bring in an offensive guru, they didn't bring in a developer. That's the thing. Saleh can't develop him offensively. He can develop a really good defender, but he can't develop a offensive guy and a quarterback. So they need to get someone that's got the offensive chops that can help whoever they have at their quarterback position take that next step.
But that's what you got to know coming in the gates, right?
Absolutely.
Q, like,
absolutely.
To me, when you hire a head coach, the first thing you got to figure out is what's the identity of the football team going to be? And then the second thing you got to figure out, I believe, when you hire a head coach is how are they going to address their own personal deficiencies?
Right.
Because any coach can come in and coach with a coach really well. But the question is, what are you going to do about the area that's not your expertise? And boy, you better have a plan. From the outset, from the minute you walk into that building, you better have a plan on, like, I'm a defensive coach, and here's who's going to make our offense.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
If you are an offensive coach that's hired, then you better have a plan on, you know, we'll use the team we both know and love, the Raiders. Like, if you're Josh McDaniels coming in, you needed to have a plan from day one that I don't know you necessarily have on who's going to be calling the plays for me because I'm not going to be able to put the energy into that, and also who's handling defense because that's not my specialty. Like, you need to know how to account for your deficiencies. The fact that Saleh's not doing a great job developing the quarterback shouldn't be excused because he should have had a great plan on what he was going to do to identify and develop talent on the offensive side of the ball.
I think the Rams did it perfectly when Sean McVay first took over and they had Wade Phillips as the defensive coordinator. Remember, there was times when Sean McVay would walk away from the field, go sit down on a Gatorade box or a Gatorade tub or whatever and talk to his quarterbacks and work on an offensive game plan and not even worry about the defense because he knew Wade Phillips got that. He's been there, done that. I'll let him control the defense. I'll come back when it's time for the offense to take the field. That's what Robert Saleh should have done, but the reverse. He's a defensive-minded guy. Okay, bring in somebody with some real-deal skills when it comes to the offense and development and get the most out of these players. That's what he didn't do, and that's what they need to do moving forward.
Well, not everybody thinks Saleh hasn't been great at what he did. Andre in Mass. Andre from Massachusetts, thanks for calling us, man. What you got?
Yeah, I got to give Saleh a little bit of credit, frankly, in terms of how he's leading this team. And that's based off the fact, Chris mispronounced his name. I apologize. I just saw him for the first time last night. His QBR was 72. Zach Wilson's was 5. He was moving that rock. And that team was trending in the right direction. Now they get into the red zone. They can't convert. But in terms of the energy, eye test, I'm coming from the basketball tradition. But what I'm just seeing in terms of how a team is being led and fueling a comeback, they're getting major consistent, that's an overstatement. They're getting good production out of a guy that just came out of nowhere. So back to Zach Wilson, he's cooked. But I think Mike White, what they have shown with Mike White, when he's in the game, the Jets are competitive, and that's greatly reassuring. Now, is he going to be the guy to get them over the top next year? Absolutely not. So, or that's another overstatement. I think that they should be in the Derek Carr conversation, be in the conversation to get one of these hired hands, Jimmy G, another one, that you could just plug in and then that would kind of streamline things. But if they don't land one of those guys, I think that they could continue to develop White, bring in a backup, a real backup behind him, and I like that mix in terms of what the option that they have. So I think Saleh, in terms of what he's done with the defense, Sauce Gardner, Pro Bowler, amongst other ballers, that's wonderful. And just give him a second to get a guy in there that can manage the game, and the Jets will be in the conversation. Zach Wilson, whatever. I mean, you're done. And frankly, you need an attitude adjustment, or else you're going to be in the Ryan Leaf sweepstakes. Okay, you got to get – because it's a quick trajectory. So I hope he lands well somewhere else and is able to get his career together. If not, 5 years, he's out of the league. But back to our Jets, I think that they have the pieces to be competitive in a difficult AFC East. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Andre. Here's the biggest difference between Ryan Leaf and Zach Wilson. Ryan Leaf actually deserved to be drafted at the top of the draft. I mean, you could make the argument going in that Ryan will make the argument that he should have been in higher Heisman candidacy conversation. And people forget this. At the time, there were real debates on whether you wanted Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. Now, when he was drafted, he was not ready emotionally with his maturity. He wasn't ready in a million different ways to be the starting quarterback and the leader of an NFL franchise. And it's really easy to find those emotional issues and tie Zach Wilson to Ryan Leaf. But Q, the difference is, Ryan Leaf had put up a body of work that made it clear he was capable of being an electric, incredible quarterback. It's just that he didn't have the other things that you needed. Zach Wilson did not put up that body of work. Like, this is why I keep saying Zach Wilson, in my mind, should have been a second or third round pick in the draft. Not the second overall, the second or third round. And if he was drafted in the second or third round, we wouldn't be looking at him saying, he's done in this league. We'd be looking at him saying, hey, not bad. Maybe there's something. Like, it takes time. You know, those are the argument changed on Zach Wilson because the Jets screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, they did. But again, they did. He, you know, he believed in himself. You know, he was able to do some decent things in college. He did obviously some really good things at the combine. But I mean, Zach Wilson, he does carry blame because, again, it's still his body of work, his immaturity. You know, like we just got the call from Andre. I mean, his immaturity, that's showing. His leadership, lack of leadership skills, that's showing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And so he just needs a reset before he is basically out of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reset's only going to help him get an opportunity to be a backup, honestly.
That might be true. It's a good job. It's a good job to have.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. There's one popular backup going to play this week that Matt in Staten Island apparently likes. Matt, you've got this. Who do you think the Jets should be going for?
How's it going, guys? Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thanks, you too.
Full disclosure, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I don't know why Gardner Minshew, I feel like he's one of the most disrespected quarterbacks in the league. This guy has, when he's playing, all he's done is play well. Now, both quarterbacks have started 22 games in their career. Gardner Minshew has 41 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, as opposed to Zach Wilson with 15 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. Why Gardner Minshew isn't a starter right now, I don't understand it. I think he could be a starter probably for at least half the league, and he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So I feel like from a Jets point of view, he could be a great bridge quarterback for them until they find the quarterback of the future. Or who knows, maybe strike gold with this kid, Gardner Minshew. Because like I said, when he gets a chance to play, he's balled out. And he's done it on bad Jacksonville teams.
Now, thanks for the call on that. I mean,
but would he want him as the Eagles starting quarterback moving forward? I know he's going to start this week, but would he want him long term?
I mean, I can't.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I think Gardner Minshew is a good quarterback. A good backup quarterback. I don't think he's a good starter in the league.
Yeah, the good backup quarterback, which, by the way, has a ton of value to it. You know, I think there's a ton of value to having somebody that you believe can come in and play for you. Gardner will get a chance, I think, somewhere. Realistically, he's too popular and too good not to. Like, he's just enough better than most backups to make people think that he's your guy. But, like, is Gardner going to go out and suddenly take you to a Super Bowl?
What is the Jets fan base going to think if all of a sudden they go from Zach Wilson to Gardner Minshew? If I'm a Jets fan, I'm like, really? This is what we're doing?
I think
we're going with the stash. Come on, man. Give me something.
But you know how people are. Like, the minute you got a big personality people like, they'll be like, oh, Gardner's going to be great because I like him. You know, it's like the same reason that there are certain quarterbacks in the world that people just seem to be against because they don't like him. Eric in Connecticut has an interesting suggestion for the Jets that I do think there could be a little bit of thought here. Eric, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
How's it going, guys? Thank you. I'm looking out west to the disaster that is the Arizona Cardinals. I think if they trade a couple of defensive players and a couple of draft picks to Arizona, then they can get Kyler Murray, which in turn Arizona flips those picks and picks up Jimmy Garoppolo to go with that offense.
I mean, That's an interesting the Kyler Murray conversation, because let's face it, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are that's not going to be married at the end of the year. Like that thing's done, right? So then what do you do if you're the Cardinals? Do you just they just inked him to a 5-year $230.5 million deal, which had a huge signing bonus on it. So it, obviously when you start thinking about the trade of that, it is complicated to move him.
I just look at that, and I really pause when I even think about Kyler Murray. I'm a guy, you know, full disclosure, saw him when he was at Allen High School, saw him when he was at Texas A&M, Oklahoma. Big fan of him because he's always been a winner. But, man, I don't know this Kyler Murray that we've seen this year with this I'm bigger than thou type attitude. And, you know what I mean? It's just he just has shown a lot of immaturity this year. I don't think he would survive. To be 100% honest, I don't think he'd survive in New York. The fans would probably be booing him off the field. The media would ask him questions that he wouldn't want to answer. You know, they would be telling him he's got to go study. I mean, that's never going to go away. I mean, I don't think Kyler Murray would be the answer that you want in New York.
Yeah, this is from an article Dan Graziano wrote about the possibility, and it said, this is a quote, if the Cardinals want to trade Murray after this season, and if they're able to do so before picking up the 2023 option, they would carry just a $23.228 million dead cap charge on their cap. But that would require them to persuade a team to take on a contract that pays Murray a fully guaranteed $75 million or so over the next 2 years. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Happening.
If you're the Jets, you're trying to make that. I mean, that's over $75 million is a ton of money for 2 years. But if you're in your window, are you just desperate enough that you do that?
Is he the guy that's going to get you to achieve what you want to achieve? If your window is winning the Super Bowl, is he going to do that? Because you're not picking him up for any other reason, right? If you're going to spend that kind of bread, you're spending it with the hopes that, okay, this guy's going to get me into the Super Bowl, at least a deep run into the playoffs. Is Kyler Murray going to do that? Because what I've seen from him the past couple seasons doesn't show me that he's going to do that.
Yeah, and that's the other part. You're going into a team, by the way, that according to overthecap.com, next year, going into next year, has a team cap space of $16 million. So you start talking about managing $75 million over the next couple of years. That becomes difficult. They'd have to restructure his contract. He'd have to be willing to restructure his contract. And then, to your point, somebody that has been critiqued enough that we check out when video games are being released would then be subject to the New York media? Like, ooh.
Good luck.
I think you want a veteran in there that is more capable of just not caring. Like, say what you want about Jimmy G. Jimmy G's heard all the noise in the world, so Jimmy G is comfortable with all the noise in the world. Like, there's nothing you can say anymore that's going to bother Jimmy G. Like, he's going to go out. Jimmy G is very Kirk Cousins in that sense, where it's like, okay, say what you want. As long as I've got an opportunity, I'm making money, and, you know, I'm as beautiful as I am, I can do whatever I want. That's
His
Jimmy G.
His team tried to get rid of him and then brought him back and asked him to take a pay cut at the same time, and he was like, yeah, all right. Yeah. I mean, think about that. His team tried to actively move on from him. And then when they couldn't, they said, all right, well, we're going to need you to restructure your deal. And he was like, yeah, well, all right, that's cool. I'm just going to go out there and play, and everything is all good. Kumbaya, we're good. And he gave everything he had until he got injured, which is something Jimmy G does. But that's why I think he'd be a good, in other words, bridge guy for a couple years with the talent that the Jets have. And then they don't have to be so pressured and so rushed to find that franchise guy in the draft, because they don't want to get it. They can't get it wrong this next time.
I want to remind everybody, too, again, Over the Cap gives you so much information on people's financials. Jimmy G, in his career, are you ready for this, Q?
I'm ready.
His career earnings to date, $114.6 million.
Jeez.
One thing we got to remember about my guy, Jimmy G is a beautiful specimen of a man. I mean, he is just dashingly attractive and worth $114.6 million. He can do whatever he wants. And so the real question is going to be, what does he want?
Right.
Because if you're Jimmy G and you're constantly going to be in places where you're either being replaced or you're a mercenary, you're looking at it saying, okay, well, what's best for me? He's going to want to go somewhere where he can live whatever life he wants to live. He wants to go somewhere that he enjoys, and he wants to go somewhere where I'm presuming he can win a bunch of football games. I mean, to your point, he took a pay cut this year, but in the process, he also put in the contract that he couldn't be franchised, that he can decide on any trade opportunities. Like, he secured his future.
Yep.
But when you're worth $115 million, you don't have to take a minimum or a small deal to play anywhere. Like, Jimmy G's going to go out there and make good money next year playing for somebody.
He's a Ryan Fitzpatrick that's not as hairy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he doesn't have the beard of a Ryan Fitzpatrick, but that's where he's at this point of the career. And
he still looks like a guy that has a lot of back hair, though. Like, Jimmy G looks like he has a lot of back hair.
Well, I don't like to judge guys on what I think that their back might look like. I mean, it's just not my bag. But I mean, I'm just throwing it out there that the guy can win games. And I think that the Jets would probably do well with bringing him in.
Oh, if the over-under was an hour and a half on when I would finally make Q uncomfortable enough that he's like, I'm done. I'm out.
The funny thing is that's right in your bag, right, Fitz?
Yeah, hairy backs or just the hairy back judgments?
The judgments.
I'm not judging him. He just looks like I've got a picture of Jimmy G up here. And like, kind of got fuzzy eyebrows, which makes me think, I'll bet he's got a lot of back hair. Like,
I think it's time to go to break. I don't know.
This is what we're doing right now. Our program today is what I'm doing. Our program today is brought to you by Peacock. I'm sure they're really happy. I'm telling you that now. Presenting the new original limited series, The Best Man, The Final Chapters. From the creator of The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday and executive producer of Insecure, streaming now only at Peacock. I don't want to brag or anything. I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot toot. I went 3-0 last week in the Radio Pick'em Challenge, undefeated. I'm back on track, and that means that it's time for us to pick some games for this weekend. We'll do it next. I'm going to keep that streak alive. Q Myers, Jason Fitz, hanging in on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if you guys have been listening to ESPN Radio throughout the course of the fall, you know we've been doing some picks across all the shows. Now, I was on 7-9 for much of the fall, hanging out with Sarah Spain for Spain and Fitz. Now, hanging out in this time slot, apparently I'm still making picks for 7-9. I don't know what's happening. All I know is things have turned around. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz, hanging out with Q Myers. Now, Q, one thing that's important to stress here is that coming into last weekend, 7-9 had fallen into last place.
Okay? I heard.
That's
you guys weren't very good. That's what I heard.
Yeah, we were in second place for much of the year, and then things fell apart. I would like to say that that was all Sarah's fault. I mean, obviously, because we alternated who picked which week, and she's not here to hear me say this. So I feel like since Sarah's probably out having happy hour drinks, enjoying her Christmas holiday, rightfully so, I can say clearly that obviously I nailed all of my picks and she didn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what you could say. But word on the street was you guys might have been cheating a little bit. So I'm just saying that's word on the streets, man. I stay deep in the streets, man. I'm connected. So I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing along what someone will pass along to me. You know what I mean?
Well, look, at the end of the day, Freddie and Fitzsimmons is 26-17-2. We are 20-23-2. So we're only six games back. Like, you know, six games back, couple weeks left. I went 3-0 last week. I'm picking still for 7-9, which, by the way, is the future home of Amber Wilson and Joe Fortenbaugh. You don't want to miss them. They're going to be hanging out. This, noon to 3 nationally, is the future home of Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Nice,
myself
right.
And Harry Douglas. Yeah, I'm learning the name of the show. I feel so proud. All right, so let's play the fancy. Like, we got, like, fancy music. We got three games we got to pick.
Seahawks at Chiefs.
Mikey C, what are you doing? Jumping the gun? I'm still, it's a monologue, Mikey C.
Mikey's like, get the show on the road here.
Like filibustering.
Mikey C. All right. What was the first game again?
Seahawks at Chiefs.
That's just kind of fun. One more time.
Seahawks at Chiefs.
Q, I'm out of control today.
You are. I appreciate that, though.
Seahawks at Chiefs. -10. And I'm not talking about the temperature. Oh, you like these jokes.
It's supposed to be like 4, though. It's supposed to be like single-digit temperature there.
Yeah, here's the thing. In all of these cold weather games, I keep asking myself the same question. Who's going to have the chutzpah to run the football the best, right? Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker III, I believe, now is back for that game?
I think so.
Look, the Chiefs are going to win, but 10 points is too many. I think the Seahawks can cover here, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. The Chiefs, they're not a very good team when it comes to covering the spread. They're just not. I mean, you go back and look at, like, the last 13 games, and I think they've failed to cover, like, 10 out of 13. So they're not very good. So they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. Really good team. They're going to win the game. But the Seahawks will find a way to get closer than 10. Yeah. They're going to cover.
And the Seahawks, yeah, I'm double-checking here. As of yesterday, Walker will be playing. Kenneth Walker is a delight, and that will change the entire Seahawks offense. They're going to pound the ball and keep this thing painful. Painful. Like, that's the objective. So, yeah. Oh, okay, we actually agree on that one. Dev, put it on the poll. Well, there's no poll. But mark it. Seahawks covering against the Chiefs. What's the next game?
Giants and Vikings.
This is New York against Minnesota. Minnesota minus 4. Minnesota, a 4-point favorite. Now, I just saw the tale of two Minnesotas, right? Like, right. I saw the first half Minnesota. I saw the second half Minnesota. Here's the thing I don't love about the Vikings. They're inconsistent.
Yep.
Here's the thing that I love about the Giants. They're consistent, right? Like, at least you know what to expect from the Giants.
Fitz, can I weigh in here as a Giants fan?
Yeah. Quick? Okay, go ahead. Just take over the show. Put your name on it.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know the name of the show. Go ahead.
Justin Jefferson might have 300 yards against the secondary of the Giants. I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
That's fine.
And?
The Giants still might score because the Vikings can't stop anybody.
True. That's what the Giants, they're going to have to put up points, which in recent weeks they haven't been able to do. But, yeah, like you said, the Vikings defense isn't anything to write home about.
Me and Fitz could score on them.
I mean, there's a moment here where don't you have to feel like you're at least going to be able to run the football on them? I mean, Dev, I'm asking you, like, that Minnesota can be run on. Minnesota's right now 18th in the league right now. They're giving up 120.4 yards a game. But over the last three games, they're giving up 141 yards per game on the ground. They are getting absolutely gashed on the ground right now. Very few teams are playing worse defensively against the run. I think the Giants can run the football here. I don't like 4 points. I like a close game.
I would say, yes, that's probably the game plan. But also, like, the Vikings know that all the Giants can do is run, right? The passing game is, you know, they're not lighting anybody up with those wide receivers. So if they stack the box, you know, they could limit it some. So it's your decision, though. Your decision.
Taking the Giants. Q, have I lost my mind?
No, I actually think the Giants are going to win the game outright.
Look at
I
that.
Really do. I was going to pick them to win the game outright. I don't trust Minnesota. And I know that it's crazy to say you don't trust a team that has double-digit wins, but I don't. Right? And, I mean, there's a reason why they were down 33 points to the Colts. Now, they came back to their credit and won the game, but they were down 33 to begin with. So, yeah, I'm riding with the Giants to win this game outright.
I don't know that they'll win outright, but I think they cover. All right, Giants. So I got Seahawks and the Giants. So far, I've got both underdogs. Uh-oh. Next game.
Packers at Dolphins.
Dolphins favored by 4. Dolphins cover on this.
Yep.
The Dolphins
absolutely.
Are going to absolutely rail the Packers are going to get destroyed. All right? The Packers are going to feel like I did as a kid in Christmas when I went downstairs and there was nothing under the tree. All right? It's just going to be one of those moments where the Packers realize sometimes life sucks. That's going to be this weekend when the Dolphins just do it to them. The Dolphins are clearly the better football team here, and I'm all in. Like, I think the Dolphins win this game by double digits, Q.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think the Packers and their playoff hopes die. In this game. I just think Miami ends their season, and then Aaron Rodgers goes back to the drawing board, tries to figure out what went wrong. He has to take a look in the mirror at himself as well. But, yeah, the Dolphins are going to get this victory and feel good about themselves doing it.
Monday, one of the lead topics on Get Up is going to be, should Aaron Rodgers demand a trade? Because the Packers are going to be so humiliated after the way they lose to the Dolphins that they don't want to show their face, and we all think that it's the end of their organization, their end of their ability to kumbaya. How do you like that? Clip that off and play it back for the world.
That was deep, brother. You went deep on that one. You took that one, man. You took that. You got that in the fast lane, and you took off on them.
The good news is I'm not doing radio on Monday, so I don't have to relive any of these hot takes. All right, let's get one more game in because, well, we will.
Raiders at Steelers.
Speaking of the death of playoff hopes, I just feel like it's just bound to happen, right? Like, the Raiders are going to go into Pittsburgh on Saturday night in gross weather, and they're just this whole can they, will they, won't they season that I've had to live through is just going to die a slow, miserable, like a snowman built in Vegas. It's just going to melt away, and my hopes and dreams on Christmas Eve are all going to go to the you-know-what.
It feels like that, right? Especially with everything going on with Franco Harris and the energy is going to be in the building. And I don't know what the fan base is going to look like. I know there's a lot of tickets available right now because it's going to be cold and miserable, like you mentioned. But I feel like that those players are going to be a little bit extra amped up. Mike Tomlin does a great job anyway of getting guys, motivated with his speeches, pregame speeches. So I think he's going to take that to another level. I don't know if that's sustainable for the whole game. I do think it's going to be close. That's why it's only a 2-point spread according to Caesars. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's my brain or my gut wants to tell me that the Raiders are going to find a way to pull this one off, but it feels like there's so many elements playing against them in this one. So for that sake, I'll say that the Steelers are going to win.
It's the interior of the offensive line here that really scares me for the Raiders. If the Raiders' offensive line was healthy, then I believe they can run the ball. The offensive line, by the way, gets a lot of credit for a group of guys that I'm not sure are necessarily the most talented offensive line in the league. They have played well considering the fact that they've used roughly 374 combinations this year. Don't Google it. That's a fact. And so when you put them together the way they've been asked to sort of piecemeal this thing throughout the course of the season, it's been difficult. When the starting five has been in over the last couple of weeks, there's a huge difference in their ability to run the football and a huge difference in Josh Jacobs' ability to jump cut and find the hole that he wants. So I think that, the Raiders, unfortunately, injury to the middle of the offensive line is not only going to make Jacobs' job more difficult, it's going to make Carr more uncomfortable. And that just feels like the sort of combination that leads to Jacobs getting 80 yards rushing instead of 130, and he needs 130 if the Raiders are going to win this football
game. Yeah, he really does. Jordan Meredith and Hronas Grasu, those are the two guys at the guard position that are in for Dylan Parham and Alex Barr. And maybe Bars and Parham are able to play. And if they are, then maybe all bets are off. But with the two backup guards in there, I don't feel very comfortable.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com. It's interesting when you talk about some of these teams because one of the things that every single fan base, and I don't care if we're talking about the Jets at the end of the year, the Raiders at the end of the year, even bad teams like the Colts are going to be looking at the end of the year at the number of times that they were right in it. One thing that is weird about this year, and I had Stats and Info look it up, there have been more blown double-digit leads this year than any other year but one in NFL history. And the winning percentage of teams that are ahead by 10 or more is the lowest of any year ever in history. Usually, teams win about 87% of the time once they're up by 10 points or more. This year, it's about 70% of the time. So what's that tell you going into the weekend? It tells you that your team needs to be able to score constantly and can never take the foot off the gas. That's difficult to do. B, it tells you there's a lot of teams that defensively just can't figure it out this year. I can't trust anybody's defense. And as we go into Christmas weekend, that plays a huge part.
It's so easy to score now, right? I mean, one, the defense, but it just seems like it's so set up for the offenses to be so successful. And these offenses are smart, man. They have really good players. The quarterback play is pretty good. The skill positions are really good. It just seems like a team is down, then all of a sudden, boom, one thing happens bad and a snowball effect happens. Now you're looking up at a 17-point lead has just evaporated. You mentioned all the leads, double-digit leads. Through week 15, it's been 44. 44 times there's been comebacks from double digits down to win through week 15. That's the most ever through 15 weeks in the NFL.
Yeah, and you start thinking about what that means across the board, and it just tells you that this is not the year where you turn off the TV early. Figure that out on Christmas weekend. I don't know how you're going to figure that out. Also, quick breaking news here. Sean McVay has let everybody know that Aaron Donald is out for the action Sunday, likely done for the season. I don't think that's any big surprise given the fact that the Rams have nothing left to play for. But there were a couple other transactions today to speak that actually speak to the way every single team should be doing business in the NFL. We'll tell you what they are next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Q Myers, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
It's the most wonderful time to be an offensive lineman because let me tell you, bags of cash. Like, Santa came down the chimney, he opened up the sack, and when he opened up the sack, there were no presents there. It was just bags of $100 bills. He Scrooge McDuck this whole thing. You just pour the hundreds out. You let a couple of them just roll around in it because some guys got paid today. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz, hanging out with Q Myers. And Q, you got two big signings. The Packers and Jenkins reach a four-year, $68 million extension, and the Browns and Conklin reach a four-year, $60 million extension. Significant because Conklin took a pay cut to go on a shorter deal, to not get cut, and now gets a massive deal as he gets healthy. But to me, like, I got to yell this and scream this because everybody today is talking about Zach Wilson. It's just my reminder. that I don't think there's any position in all the NFL that's more talent deficient than the offensive line. There are not enough good offensive linemen to actually make good offensive lines across the NFL. If you got one, you might as well go lock dude up because you need all the help you can get on the offensive line right now.
More times than not, there's one to two good guys on the offensive line, and then there's a bunch of others, right? I mean, there's some teams that have really good lines for the whole front, but for the most part, man, you really have one or two good guys, and then you hope that they're so good that they help the guy next to him be a little bit better. So, yeah, when you have a guy that you can rely on and you know how valuable that position is, you've got to take care of him, especially, you know, that makes not only him happy, that makes that quarterback happy too, because it says, hey, good looking out. You're trying to help protect the future, which is, you know, the quarterback position. So, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, man, when you got him, take care of him.
Yeah, and the sooner you take care of anybody in general, the minute you start taking care of people, you get ahead of the contracts. Like, I don't care what the position is. I have to remind, if you got a safety and you think that safety is going to be one of the best in the league, you see him every day in practice, you understand how he's great, you understand that this is your guy, go sign him right away, because the player is going to get signed earlier, which means they have a chance to get in two huge contracts. Players love that. But then from a team side, these contracts are outdated every 2-3 years. So, like, if you got a guy, go get him. Go pay him right now.
And, you know, if you're an organization and you're taking care of your homegrown guys, that sends a message to the rest of the locker room as well. You go out there, you do your job, you play at the highest level, we will take care of you. You won't have to worry about hitting free agency. We will hold on to you. That sends a big, loud message to the rest of the organization. We both, you know, cover the Raiders, fans of the Raiders. What Dave Ziegler did that I thought was really smart when he came in as the GM of the Raiders, took care of Max Crosby immediately, a guy who was a fourth-round pick who was playing really well. Now, what did he do? Max Crosby rewarded him with not only, you know, great leadership, but look what he's done on the field. He, if he had not signed that contract extension, he would be a free agent, and he would really get, in your words, paid. But now he's just gotten paid, and it's really good, but he could get a whole lot more on the open market. But to send a message to the rest of the locker room, we'll take care of you. You handle your business.
Yeah, I if I was running a football team, and number one, it's not my money. It's the owner's money. Number two, I'm going to spend that money to create the best culture I possibly can.
Exactly
behind the scenes. If I got somebody that's out playing a deal, I'm going to find a way to get him more. If I got somebody that I need to get a deal to, I'm going to get that done. Because certainly at some point you have to look at the people you want to remain in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And there's two sides of it. There's the business side of it, right, and then there's the culture side of it. The culture side matters at some point. So, you know, to me, when you see a couple of guys out there throwing money at offensive line, this even matters to the conversation we're going to have about the draft. I know I keep talking about the draft, but y'all, like, going into the year, if you've got a choice for your team to reach for a quarterback that may or may not be the answer that nobody's really sure of and the team may not even know, or go get a tackle that everybody feels really good about, go get that tackle. Like, best player on the board, and if that best player is an offensive lineman, hell, even better, because they're impossible to find.
Right, exactly right. You've got to go ahead and take care of your business, handle your business, keep those guys in-house, and build that franchise around those guys, building blocks, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
I mean, you went building blocks. I was going to say fat boys. Like, in honor of Santa, let's get them all dressed up in big red suits, like, and then have them come all in and then just set down their sacks of cash, because that's what they got, is wild, huge sacks of cash. Congratulations to them. Don't forget, tune in to an NBA doubleheader Sunday. The Celtics host the Bucks, followed by Grizzlies at the Warriors. Coverage begins at 4:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It is going to be a wild weekend. Q, as a longtime friend and as somebody that got to work with you today, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and yours, man. I loved getting to kick off the Christmas season with you, buddy.
Absolutely. You as well, my man. It's always a pleasure to be able to work with you. And this is just about a year ago today. I did my very first show on the network with you, so I appreciate you.
Man, it's glorious. All right, the entire Jets offensive and defensive lines are going to join Canty and Carlin next. It's going to be the biggest, I mean literally, show in ESPN Radio history. Thanks for hanging out with Q and me.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.